For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to the Dodgers Nation post-game show, the number one Dodgers post-game show here on YouTube. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC underscore LA. And thanks for joining us after the Dodgers lose yet again. They lose tonight to the New York Mets by a final score of 9-4. Their record drops to 12-10. Still first place in the NL West, but this team has some issues. The Dodgers are down bad at the moment. They lost six of their last eight games, six of eight. That's how many games the Dodgers have dropped lately, and we have so much to get into. I've got some big takeaways. We're going to talk about the bullpen, the issues with the bullpen. Freddie Freeman continues to slump. He has another really, really tough night at the plate. Chris Taylor did show a pulse. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, we're going to break down his start. We got the good and the bad from that start. More good than bad, but something I noticed tonight with Yoshinobu Yamamoto that absolutely needs to be corrected. We're also going to talk about Shohei Ohtani. He tried to put this team on his back. He comes through with runners in scoring position, but this Dodgers team just not doing enough at the plate offensively, not getting it done enough with runners in scoring position. You had opportunities in this one. Last game, you go 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Not too many opportunities. Tonight, though, you go 3-for-12 with runners in scoring position. You left 10 Dodgers on base, and we're going to break it all down, but things are not on the way up for your Dodgers right now. Definitely some struggle times. They're definitely struggling at the moment, and it's unfortunate because this was an opportunity for this team to really build a nice cushion in this division when you look at a 9-game homestand. Unfortunately, they just haven't been able to stack those wins as they should have, but let's go dive right in the comment section here. By the way, we're going to do the Michelada half full take, so it's not all doom and gloom here for the doomers, but if I see a fire take, you're going to see one of these. Fire take. Comment of the show, you'll see one of these. Anything a little sus, you'll see one of these. And of course, any burns, you're going to see one of these. But let's dive in the comments. This team is going to be the 2023 Padres from Jason Diamond. Hulk smash your mom. Bullpen is a mess. Starting pitching a mess. Then no hitting at all. Yeah, if you look at the bullpen right now, after tonight, you allowed that 2-run shot to Francisco Lindor there in the 7th inning. That really was the backbreaker home run. And Lindor hits that home run, and you see it's a breaking ball up in the zone, and boom, middle of the plate. Middle right there. And Lindor, who is hitting 151. Francisco Lindor is hitting 151 heading into this game, and he's able to get that big home run. So, yeah, the bullpen, they've had their issues. They've served up 14 home runs on the season. That's the second most in all of Major League Baseball. They're ranked in the bottom third in essentially every single category. So, yeah, this bullpen, they're turning into a hot mess. Thankfully, you got some reinforcements on the way. Blake Treinen looks like he's going to be back pretty soon. Bruce Dar Gratterall at some point in May. But, yeah, there's definitely an issue with the bullpen. We're going to break that down more in depth a little bit. Juice Narrow says, back to our losing ways. Jack, there's no energy. Adam 818, two chats. I don't know about that. We got the Go Dodgers from BC. Can we please fire Dave Roberts and our hitting coach? Look, this is the typical Dave Roberts early of the season slump. Okay, we've seen it on so many different occasions, and you really can't compare each team. Every team's different. Every team's unique. This team has Yamamoto and Ohtani, right? There's a lot of adjusting and a lot of learning that's happening right now, but it's frustrating. And yes, you still have 86% of the season to go. Yes, you still have time to run away with this division. I do think they ultimately will, but there are some things that we're seeing early on that kind of make you think, uh-oh, is this the decline of Freddie Freeman, right? I'm not saying it is, but sometimes those thoughts will creep in to your head, right? And you look at Freddie Freeman tonight, another extremely rough night for Freddie Freeman. He ends up going 0-for-5 And he's 8-47 his last 12 games, hitting .173. Freddie Freeman is as lost at the plate as I've ever seen him as a Los Angeles Dodger. When you're batting in the three hole, you need more production from Freddie Freeman. But I'm going to read more of your comments because I know you guys want to sound off, and then we're going to do a full breakdown. Ray Soto, you said it, D-Mac, too many nice guys from Ray Soto. Mr. Copacetic, team is so flat. Volume is out of what is going on, D-Mac? That's from Jimenez. We got, I think the Dodgers need to make some moves. They'll make some moves at some point. They're evaluating, they're assessing. What's up, D-Mac? Checking in from Fresno. What's up, Frankie SRT? Mario, worried? Not at all. So Mario, he's chilling. Brett says embarrassing. Yosef says this is Dave's fault. Golden Era Hip Hop Forever says luckily we're still in April. Philip Subia, we look like we took a punch in the gut and we look depleted. Juice Narrows calling this a super team at the moment is embarrassing. Kevin says it's crazy how bad this team is. We have like four guys that can hit. Everyone else is an automatic out. Our starters never go deep into games. Our entire pen, with the exception of Evan Phillips, is beyond trash. At what point is Roberts on the hot seat? So a lot to unpack there in that one. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right with a lot of your points there. Evan Phillips really is the only bullpen piece that you can count on at this point. Hudson was there for a couple of games, but he's given up some home runs. He gave a big key home run tonight. We'll say Mookie Betts' defense there was costly in that one. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. As far as at what point is Dave Roberts on the hot seat? Look, I mean, this team falls into last place and they're on the All-Star break, then probably he's in the hot seat, right? If they don't win the division or they lose in the NLDS and get swept, then he's probably on the hot seat. But this team's going to turn things around. This organization is fully behind Dave Roberts, so I don't expect that to change. And some more comments we got. Neil, the whole team is struggling at the plate. More Ks than runs. Yeah, the strikeouts are the issue. I mean, heading into today, 57 strikeouts with runners in scoring position. That was the worst in all of Major League Baseball. You have to be able to put the ball in play. Put the bat on the ball. Contact is king. Good things happen. Unfortunately, when you don't put the bat on the ball, you get nothing. You get absolutely zero in those situations. Spend another billion on pitchers. That's for Matt. Let's do some more here. Any super chats, definitely get read. Alex says, the way the rest of the team is acting when Yamamoto reminds me of Buehler in 2022. Joe Def says, it's still early, but we are super overrated. Plenty of time to be more overrated than the 2010 Yankees. Look, this team wasn't going to just cruise to 162 win season. There's time to adjust. And let's start right there. Use it as a jumping off point in breaking down Yoshinobu Yamamoto's start. Because Yoshinobu Yamamoto, there was a lot of good, there was some bad, and there were some adjustments that need to be made. So Yoshinobu Yamamoto, he comes out there, and I was so impressed with his first inning performance, right? He goes 1-2-3 on 9 pitches there in the first inning. And that has been the inning that has really been his kryptonite. That has been the issue in that inning. But he goes out there, gets off to a nice start. And then if you look at his numbers as a whole, if you look at his line, he went 6 innings, allowed 3 earned runs, had a career-high 9 strikeouts, had 1 walk, had a 42.4 called strike and whip percentage. That was also the best number he's put up in that department to start his MLB career. Also had 17 swings and misses. Had success with that splitter. Had success with that curveball. The issue was they were sitting on the fastball. The issue was early in counts, when they knew the hard stuff was coming, if he wasn't locating it, they were taking full advantage. If you jump to that second inning, he struck out Alonso with a curveball in the bottom of the zone. And then Stewart, first pitch, he homers to center. So ambushing that first pitch, ambushing that 95-mile-per-hour fastball, and hitters know they're going to see a lot of movement, right? Yoshinobu Yamamoto's stuff moves more than a military family, right? He engages in pitch craft the way it's wizard-like. But early in counts, when he's going to go with that fastball, if you're not locating it properly and you're not having success up in the zone with it, that was the issue, right? Not having success up in the zone with it, they're going to ambush it. And they did it in that at-bat. Stewart, he hits that home run. That makes it 1-0 Mets. And then this is where the defense reared its ugly head. Alvarez was safe at first after a throwing error by Will Smith. So let's take a look at that. I mean, this is an easy out. It's a little number right there. Will Smith grabs it and just flings it right over the head of Freddie Freeman. When it's over the head of Freddie Freeman, a guy who was 6'5", that's just not the right play. I mean, that's just a clear-cut, sloppy error there by Will Smith, and the runner gets to second. So just that cannot happen early in games, especially when you're trying to build up a starter in Yamamoto. I mean, look at this play. I mean, this is a play that just cannot happen. I mean, Smith grabs it, kind of holds on the ball a little too long. It's a tough play. It's a tough play, but still, it's an error. It's an error. And what happens after that? Struck out McNeil with a four-seam fastball up and away. Really great pitch right there. That was his best fastball up in the zone. Got him swinging underneath it for the second out of the inning. And then next batter, Bader, he singled to center to score Alvarez to make it 2-0 Mets. Fastball middle of the zone. So that trend continues right there. The Mets hitters had a game plan against Yamamoto, and that was to identify that heater and jump on it. They did it on multiple occasions tonight, and there you go. Mets up 2-0. Then he bounces back. He strikes out Wendell, swinging with a splitter bottom of the zone, and then he strikes out the side. So he struck out the side there in the second, but that key error by Will Smith led to another run. You'll live with the solo shot. You'll live with the solo home run to Stewart. It's the error. It's the crooked number innings, the crooked number runs and innings that really, really set you back. And then you jump to the top of the third inning. Now, this is where Yamamoto needs to just find that command early. And tonight, he did a much better job of getting ahead of hitters. And that was definitely something that I've been saying during the week as far as just the key to his success. Getting ahead of hitters, finding a way to get first pitch strikes. And on the night, Yamamoto, 18 for 27 on first pitch strikes. So, did a better job early on. But in that at-bat, he ends up walking the leadoff man. He walks the leadoff man in Nimmo, and then Marte, he doubled to left on a fastball. So another fastball, he was right on that. He was waiting for that fastball. He was hunting it, and that gave the Mets runners on second and third with no outs. Few batters later, one out, and Alonso at the plate. He singles to score Nimmo. That makes it 3-0 Mets, and then with runners on the corners, DJ Stewart, he flies, he hits a sack fly to center to make it 4-0 Mets. What was the pitch? You guessed it, another fastball. So that was really the story with Yamamoto's outing. He was able to work his way around a one-out ground rule double to Bader in the fourth inning, and then a single. That gave the Mets runners on first, on second and third with one out. So really nice job for Yamamoto to bounce back there in the fourth inning. He got runners on second and third, one out. He ends up punching out Alvarez with that splitter down the zone. He struck out Nimmo with that splitter down the zone. He gets out of that. So look, that really was it. After that, the fifth inning, the sixth inning, he was able to take care of business. But in his last start, he had a 45.1% usage rate on that four-seam fastball. Tonight, it was the lowest it's been for the entire season. It was down to 24%. 24 of his 99 pitches were that four-seam fastball. So that tells me not trusting that pitch, not attacking with that pitch. And I think it's because he's not spotting it as well as he's hoped to. So, look, I mean, you saw in his start against the Padres when he wasn't able to get that fastball up in the zone. Hey, that's where it led to some bad moments there against that Padres team. So they're going to go out there and they're going to do damage to that pitch unless he can find a way to command it better. So the good with Yamamoto tonight, career high in strikeouts, career high in whiffs. We know how nasty he can be. We know he's what he's capable of, but he just has to put everything together with fastball command, sequencing, and just try to find a game plan where hitters are a little more off balance and not jumping on that fastball. But let me know down below in the comments section, what is your grade for Yoshinobu Yamamoto tonight? I'm going to give him a solid B. I mean, really a solid B. Let's not forget, this is a 25-year-old rookie in his first season in Major League Baseball. He had 9 strikeouts and 17 whiffs. 199 Super Chat from my guy Ease909, who says, wondering why Freddie isn't second and Ohtani third. We'll hit that topic in a little bit here, but yeah, definitely have a lot of thoughts on that. David Sabatini, the sky is not falling, D-Mac. Patience, my friend.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
and patience. Yeah, I'm not panicking. I'm not panicking at all. I mean, we have enough evidence to support the theory, the fact that the Dodgers are going to be just fine because, look, this was a team that was always going to need time to build chemistry, time to adjust, time to get guys back off of injuries. But I do think that there's certain guys that you wonder. We got 299 from Grizzly OSO says, D-Mac, are you worried about middle relief? I'm absolutely worried about it. We'll talk about that. And that kind of leads into my point right here is that there are certain guys on this team where you just don't know if they're going to be the guy that this organization thought they were going to be. They bet on a lot of these guys that were players from the past, the Kike Hernandezes, the Chris Taylors, right? The Joe Kellys. They brought back Ryan Brazier. Are those guys going to be key contributors, and are they going to be able to get it done in the roles that they're supposed to play for this team? But keep fire away in the comments section. Victor Rocha, don't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. That's a hot take right there. That's a lava hot take. I mean, we're talking about some ghost pepper stuff right there. Trade Chris Taylor while he's hot, Chief. That's a funny take. That's a bruh. D-Mag, do not worry about this sorry team. It's like seeing the Titanic go down. Stop the lies. Okay. Excuse me. Yeah, exactly. I mean, 3 runs in 6 innings. You live with that. I mean, he gave 3. We had Nando. At least D-Mac calls out this team. The other YouTuber just make excuses for this crap team. Look, I got to keep it a buck. I got to keep it 100. My only goal here is to try to drop truth bombs about the Los Angeles Dodgers and also get your takes out. That's why we got the comments on the screen. I want you guys to be heard, even if I'm unable to get to your comments. But Freddie's bat is MIA. We'll talk about that, Boomer, in just a second. Hayward is he's still out. I mean, Jason Hayward is still on his way back. And look, I mean, do you think Jason Hayward is going to be the guy that fixes all this? I mean, come on now. Let's not act like Jason Hayward is going to completely change the Dodgers' fortune. So Jason Hayward's not even going to be on the road trip. He's going to stay back. There's no timetable right now as far as when he's going to return, when he's going to begin a rehab assignment. So it's going to take some time. And Hayward, he'll be back at some point, but look, I think Andy Páez, I like what I saw from Páez today. I saw a hard hit double that was 110 miles per hour off the bat. So jump into the bottom of the fourth inning. This is where Shohei Ohtani is essentially trying to do everything on his own. Freeman, Ohtani draws a leadoff walk to start the inning, and then Freddie Freeman, he strikes out swinging on a sweeper. And during this at bat, you're seeing a lot of uncharacteristic swings by Freddie Freeman, swinging at pitches off the plate down the way, missing on fastballs in the zone that we've seen him drive. So he's not reading the ball well. He's not seeing the ball well. He's just out of sync, out of rhythm. And there's a perfect example that, yes, sometimes, yeah, runners in scoring position, that is very important. But how about runners on first base, right? Just runners on base. That's when you need your number three hitter to produce. Forget a runner on second getting him home. It's your number three hitter. How about a bomb there, right? How about a double there, right? What we saw last year, 59 doubles, 29 home runs. And then next batter, not a good at bat by Will Smith. I mean, first pitch, he flied out to right for the second out. And Ohtani says, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do this all by myself. He steals second. And then Teoscar Hernandez, he singles to right to score Ohtani for the Dodgers' first run of the night to make it 4-1. Dodgers trailing by 3 at that point. Then jump to the bottom of the fifth inning. This is the inning where it felt like the Dodgers slumped. The tables were going to turn for this Dodgers team. That, you know what? This is the get right inning. We're going to build some momentum, and then we're going to ride this to a 3-game sweep, which was what I was hoping for. Well, Páez hits a leadoff double to right, 110 miles per hour off the bat. You just saw the impressive hit tool, the ability to barrel up heaters, and really great piece of hitting there by Andy Páez. Few batters later, Chris Taylor, he draws a one-out walk, and then Betts, he flies to center for the second out. And then Ohtani, with runners on first and second, he singles to right to score Páez to make it 4-2 Dodgers. Dodgers get their second run of the night. And guess what? Oh, what do you know? Shohei Ohtani, he comes through with runners in scoring position. He's now 2-for-20 on the year. I will say it again. I've said it all week. Do not change a thing. Yes, he has been more aggressive than any hitter in Major League Baseball in those situations. But in the past, Ohtani has a last 3 years, an OPS over 1,000 runners in scoring position. position. If you look at the batted ball data, it proves that he's been unlucky in those situations. I don't want to change a thing with Shohei Ohtani. Go up there, be you, because you being you is the most dangerous and explosive hitter in the game. But still, look, give him credit. It's a single in that situation. He saw more pitches. He was able to execute and get the Dodgers another run. And then top of the fifth inning, 1-2-3, two-out single to Bader, and then he comes back to strike out Wendell. So really nice job by Yamamoto there. And then bottom of the sixth, this was really the inning that you're saying, okay, wow, this could be it, right? Will Smith was safe at first after throwing error by Mets third baseman Joey Wendell. Couple of batters later, Kike, he grounds into what would have been a fielder's choice, but Smith was safe at second after a throwing error by Joey Wendell, his second of the inning, and with runners on the corner, one out, and he pies at the plate. Pies kind of turns into a breaking ball. It hits him on the left shoulder, the same shoulder where he had the labrum surgery. He's able to reach. The Dodgers have bases loaded. They loaded the bases, and Doc, he elects to pinch it for Miguel Rojas. And with Miguel Rojas for Max Muncy, Muncy hasn't gotten a hit on a high fastball all season. Essentially, he's up at the plate, and he goes down swinging on a splitter on the inside corner. Muncy's really struggled with runners in the scoring position this season. And that, of course, brings up Mr. Chris Taylor, CT3, who heading into that bat was 0 for his last 31. It was a 3-1 count, and he rips a 3-1 hanging slider at the bottom of the zone. He rips it to left to score Smitty and Kike to tie things up at 4. So what a moment for Chris Taylor. Let's take a look at it.
Taylor rips a base hit to left field. Smith in to score. Here comes Hernandez. Chris Taylor can breathe a sigh of relief. He's tied the game.
So you saw the relief. The relief on his face. After he gets that hit, after he's able to get that single, I mean, it was a really nice piece of hitting there. It was a 3-1 count, hanging slider, just left it a little up, and really nice piece of hitting. And that is a at-bat. He struck out later in the game, but that is an at-bat that tells you, you know what, maybe, just maybe, things will start to click for Chris Armand Taylor Jr. III. So definitely very encouraging, and unfortunately, with runners on second and third, Mookie ends up flying to left. So Mookie flied to left in a situation where, look, the Dodgers really, really could have gone on top. I think if you look back, that was one of the real key at-bats, especially when you look at the year Mookie's having. So let me know down below in the comments section before we break down the rest of this game. Thoughts on Chris Taylor's night? I'm going to read a bunch of comments here, and then we're going to dive back into this one. Team Ruiz, when is it time to fire Dave Roberts? Rob, what's your outlook on Outman? My outlook on Outman is, well, he has been, I think he's 2 for 25, 2 for 26 with runners in scoring position, something like that. He hasn't really gotten the job done with runners on base, so you want to see him get into a rhythm with runners on and do damage. Has two home runs. He is hitting the ball harder. He has made an adjustment where you're seeing him use the opposite field a little more. He's not chasing as much. So I think as far as his swing mechanics, they're better now than they were a couple weeks ago, and you have seen some adjustments. But I think for Outman, look, I mean, he's already basically in a full-blown platoon, right? Anytime there's a lefty, he's on the bench. And Dave Roberts said back during spring training that he wasn't going to be platooned, and then a couple weeks into the season, he's getting complete platoon mode. So I think with James Outman, you would maybe like to see him get more consistent playing time where, look, you just give him that runway, and you see his numbers weren't terrible against lefties last season. It just there wasn't a lot of power there. So I think what I envision for James Outman is, look, let's see what he can be with a longer leash, and then see if he can have some success, because he's a very rhythm-based player. I mean, when his timing's off, when he doesn't feel good about his swing at the plate, things aren't going to happen for him. But a couple of games ago, I mean, last game against the Nationals, he had a double, him and Muncy with only extra base hits. So things actually were trending in the right direction for him. So I just think, look, he plays above average defense. You just have to give him a little more of an opportunity at the plate. Nando 390, the Dodgers are the laughing stock of baseball. Anthony Diaz, overrated. We look like total crap. We're the laughing stock. Man, you guys are down bad. The down bad Dodgers trade Andrew Friedman from JR. Dodgers haters are impatient to talk trash. That's from Jinjo. Jeremy H., I'd prefer this team to slump now rather than later. Yeah, you said it best. I mean, that's a fire take. It's actually a comment of the show right there. And I agree with you, Jeremy H. I mean, this team is figuring things out. They're finding a way to really address and assess what their needs truly are. And what we know so far, what have we learned about this team early on? We've learned a couple things. One, the bottom of the lineup has been one of the worst in the league. Outside the Miami Marlins, this team's bottom of the lineup has been the least productive. And you just can't have that from your 7, 8, 9 hitters. Okay, so you got to give guys opportunities. I like what I've seen from Andy Páez. I think Chris Taylor, we'll see if he finds a way to carry this momentum into his next opportunity and build off that. Gavin Lux has gone off to an awful start this season. Miguel Rojas, I mean, you can't expect big things from Miggy Rowe. But I do think that there could be a trade that happens, but that's not going to be for months, okay? So I think right now it's just being able to assess which guys do you truly want to give those opportunities to. And I think the bottom of the lineup is an issue, but also the bullpen. The bullpen is a hot mess. They're a hot mess. It's the bullpen. I mean, it's the bull. I mean, 3 earned runs from Yamamoto in six innings. You'll live with that with the offense that this team has, that they roll out there. Juice Nero is a good thing. It's just April. We still have 5 months of baseball left. 86% of the season left. We talked about it before. Board, Silver, 95. Wow, that's a tough grader. Gives him a D. Justin Lamas, the best player on the field today, was Lux. Okay, that was cold. 3-game sweep coming up for the Mets. Anthony Diaz. Put Otani in the 3 spot. We'll talk about that. Panic Brothers Unite. Blair, a $1 billion team that can't beat anyone. Pathetic. What will the excuses be this year for another failed World Series? Make Otani pitch. Dan Clark. Okay, I think that's a little premature. I did see him throwing on the field in his rehab process. MBKT3 is washed. Diane Schroeder says, hi, I'm late for the funeral. Okay, that's a little too much, but I'll give you that one. Jesus, D-Mac, you're saying you're not panicking. So if your house is burning, will you not panic till the roof falls in your head? Exactly. You should panic and do something. I mean, look, ask yourself this question. Is this team fully formed right now? Has this team had bad Aprils in the past only to win 100-plus games? The answer to that is yes. So I would rather struggle now and force this front office to make some difficult decisions about their current players than have this team have a fake early level of success, right? Let's say they're going out there and some of these players are getting off the hot starts and they're feeling all rosy and they don't feel like they have to go out there and make trades and they feel like they don't have to go out there and kind of shuffle some things around. Then we see what we saw a couple years ago when they won 111 games and they think that they're going to go steamroll their way to the World Series. Well, guess what? They didn't make any aggressive moves at the deadline then. They didn't make any aggressive moves at the deadline last season. And guess what? You went home early. So I would rather kind of trim the fat and kind of prune through what you need to prune through and really put this team in the best position to win. I think you do that by kind of fleshing out this roster. So I think this is a necessary evil. It's not fun. I hate it, right? I mean, look, in Rocky movies, he doesn't win. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't beat Clubber Lang, right? He doesn't beat Creed, he doesn't beat Dragas. He doesn't beat them at the beginning of the movie, right? Usually he suffers a defeat or there's some tragedy that happens and then he wins in the end, right? So I want to win in the end. And sometimes you have to have some setbacks. Sometimes you have to get beat up and take some on the chin to make that happen. Adrian! Nando 390, Freddie needs to cut the crap with being friendly at first with another team. Okay, so moving right along. So, 7th inning, the Dodgers tie the game earlier. They're in the 6th. 7th inning, Nimmo, he strikes out swinging. You have Daniel Hudson on the mound. Nimmo strikes out for the first out. And then this was the key play of the game. This was the moment of the game where I said, look, I don't think the Dodgers are going to be able to come back from this because of how late in the game is, because of how stagnant the offense has been, because of the issues with the bullpen. But Marte was safe at first after a throwing error by Mookie Betts. If you saw the play, he looked at the runner. He just missed the throw. And, yeah, look, I mean, a shortstop is going to make that throw. 99% of the time. And Mookie is still transitioning to being an everyday big league shortstop. You guys know my stance on that. I don't think this team is at its best with Mookie as a shortstop, even if he grades out as an above shortstop. I'll digress on that for now. But in that situation, that should have been the second out. And that should have left the bases clear for Daniel Hudson to focus on getting out Francisco Lindor, who came into the night with a 151 batting average. And then on a 3-2 pitch to Lindor, he hits a two-run bomb to left. That makes it 6-4 Mets. And look, that's the thing about Hudson. The home runs have been an issue for him. He's given up four runs this season. All four have been on the home run ball. Typically, it's just on one or two bad pitches. That one was on a slider. He hung it there. He bounces back. He strikes out Alonso. He gets Stewart to fly to center. But that error by Mookie Betts led to that two-run shot by Francisco Lindor. And then you look at the top of the eighth inning, Joe Kelly gives a one-out single to McNeil. Bader reached on an infield single to second. Strikes out Wendell. He walks Nimmo. Then he gives up a single to Marte. The Mets tack on another two runs. That makes it 8-4. And you're looking at a team that just, the bullpen can't get anyone out, right? I mean, they can't close the kitchen cabinet. And Ryan Brazier, he follows that up, and he gives up three hits in his appearance. He gives up a run. So, I mean, look at this bullpen as a whole. He gave up four earned runs on the night. So, that's just not going to get it done. Daniel Hudson ends up taking the loss in this one. So, the bullpen just not getting it done. The offense scoring just four runs. This team really, really needs a spark. And, Freddie, my big takeaways on this one. One, Yamamoto isn't there yet, still just 25 years old as a rookie. The swing and miss, the strikeout ability, that's apparent. That's evident, but the fastball is being ambushed. Opponents are jumping on that fastball. I think 90% of his hits tonight were off that fastball. So he's got to locate it better. He's got to have more confidence in it. He has to know he has to attack hitters with that heater to set up his other stuff. But I'm still very encouraged by him, okay? He's shown what he's capable of. Isn't there yet, but he's starting to really put it together. I think a very positive outing for Yamamoto. You would take six innings of three-run ball. The defense didn't do him any favors. And second, sloppy errors cost the Dodgers today. Alvarez reaching on that throwing error by Will Smith in the second. Mookie's throwing error in the seventh. That led to Lindor's two-run home run. Defense was sloppy. When you're slumping, it feels like everything is going bad, right? Feels like the at-bat quality isn't good. Feels like the pitching is subpar. Feels like the defense is subpar. And look, defense shouldn't slump. Defense should not slump. Defense travels, and it shouldn't slump. And the Will Smith throw right there, that is really inexcusable. Mookie Betts, it's a little more understandable because he was thrusted into that shortstop spot, but it cost the Dodgers tonight. Cost them three runs. And then three, Chris Taylor has a pulse. Welcome to the 2024 season, Chris Taylor. He ends up going 1-for-3 with two RBI. He snapped an 0-for-31 streak with a two-out, two-run RBI single there in the fifth inning. So, it takes more than one. Here's what I was going to say. Here's what I always say when it comes to slumps. It takes more than one good game to get out of a slump. It takes more than one bad game to get in a slump. So, let's see if he can build on this. And then four, Freddie Freeman is really slumping in a bad way. This is the darkest slump we've seen for Freddie Freeman since he's signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Tonight, had some opportunities, wasn't able to come through. He ends up going 0-for-5 on the night. Some bad strikeouts. He's 8 for his last 47, his last 12 games, hitting 173. Perfect example of him.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm having an opportunity. He had a runner at first with two outs, and he's chasing at pitches right out of the strike zone there in the fourth inning. And you can't be chasing breaking balls away out of the zone. If you're Freddie in those situations, then after Ohtani singled in a run in the fifth, he had runners on first and second. He strikes out on three pitches. He looked overmatched by a 93-mile-per-hour fastball. So he's just not seeing it well at the moment. So they need that to change. As far as where is he at in the lineup, I still think that Shohei Ohtani needs to bat in the two spot. I mean, I think you could maybe flip-flop Freddie and Ohtani if you wanted to. I mean, they're both lefties. It's not a staggering thing or anything like that. But maybe if you believe with Ohtani on deck, Freddie might see some better pitches. And maybe that would get him out of his slump. But the problem with that is if you go to that and you have success with that, then you have to really lean on that for the entire season. And the truth is, one, you want to get Ohtani the most at-bats. And also, you want to give Ohtani the ability to change the game with his base running ability. Today, he stole a base that led to a run. So with Ohtani's speed, I still want to see him batting in the two hole. So I don't want to change things. What I do want to change is Freddie Freeman's ability at the plate, right? I want to see Freddie Freeman get back to being Freddie Freeman, getting back to being one of the best hitters in baseball, getting back to being the active hits leader in the game. And guess what? I'll be honest with you. I really am not going to lose sleep over Freddie. I know this is a dark slump, but kind of my question with Freddie is, when are we going to see the decline? Because at some point, we are going to see the decline. Is it going to be at 34, 35, or 36? And I think that one of my big takeaways about Freddie Freeman tonight is he's going to get out of this slump, 100%. We're going to see an all-star level version of Freddie Freeman. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But I think that there's another signal to the front office that says, you know what? You've got to win this year. You've got to win the next year. Because Freddie and Mookie are not going to be in their prime for the next 8 to 10 seasons for the duration of Ohtani being here. So I hope that this accelerates a sense of urgency from this front offense, knowing that, hey, get some length in this lineup. Because the thing about this team, they don't feel deep right now. So there's that. Then my fifth big takeaway, the Dodgers bullpen, they're a hot mess once again early in the season. 4 earned runs and 3 innings of work. The Lindor home run there in the 7th. They just have not instilled any confidence outside of Evan Phillips. I think you need Blake Treinen back as soon as possible. You need Brusdar Graterol back as soon as possible. And I also think that you have to look at some external options at some point to fortify this bullpen. Because, look, Ryan Brazier was great last season. They brought him back, $13 million contract. But they also did not have Craig Kimbrell on the postseason roster, and they owed him $16 million, right? This team is not going to bat an eye if you have to move off of Ryan Brazier. So here we go. Those are my big top five takeaways from this one. I still feel like this team is going to get out of this sooner than later, but right now it is not fun to watch Dodger baseball when they're losing like this. But actually, it's always fun because baseball is great no matter what. You're going to lose. Baseball is going to baseball. And here we go. We got the schedule gets tougher. This is from Golden Era Hip Hop Ever. The schedule gets tougher. Absolutely. Snell gave up 15 hits. Wow. Yes, D-Mac Green. What up, Alex? Couple more. We need villain energy. That's from Jack. We got it's early in the season. Chill out. No more negativity from Jinjo. I had great seats. General parking today. Beat the traffic. LOL. Mookie sucks at shortstop. That's from Black Cat. The numbers show he's decent. He's definitely average at worst right now. But look, I mean, when you're learning something new, you're going to have that occasional error, that occasional misthrow. And they have said, okay, we're willing to go through those growing pains with Mookie. Michael says, Muncy pinch hitting and strikeout with the bases loaded was a killer. What a waste. Freddie will be back guaranteed. Michael Salas, yeah, that was a big moment in this game. And Muncy just, he's had some really solid moments this season. He's been above average, but that was a tough moment coming off the bench. He pinch hits for Rojas. It's a 4-2 game there in the bottom of the 6th. And he goes up in the count. He was up in the count 3-1, fouls off a slider for strike 2. And then when the count was full, swung and missed at a splitter down and in. So that has been one of the big differences with Max Muncy this season. Usually you could count on a higher walk rate and the ability to lay off of some pitches outside of the zone or some borderline pitches, but he just hasn't been able to do that. The strikeout rate has been way too high for Muncy this season. And runners in scoring position, he's 6-for-30 on the year. Muncy's 6-for-30 with runners in scoring position with the opportunities he's gotten. That's pretty unacceptable. Okay, that's running a small village out there. So I totally agree with that take. You need a little more from Max Muncy. Let's see if there's any quotes after the game. Let's see if Dave Roberts said anything interesting. Let's see. Let's go over to the X. Yeah, nothing too crazy. No, I don't see too much out there. But yeah, I mean, we'll break down Freddie a little more in depth too tomorrow. But yeah, a couple more, and we'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your Friday night. I got Dune 2 on YouTube. I paid like $30 for it. Is it good? Everyone tells me it's like the best movie ever, so I'm going to probably watch that after this. We got I trust Joe Kelly like I trust a fart after a Taco Bell. Jay Bull, that's a bruh. Come on now. Yeah, he has not looked good. Has not looked good on the season. And it's another one of those guys, like I said, one of the big themes early on is you can say it's early. And I know that's the cliche everyone's going to throw out. And yes, I believe in this team, but I also think, yeah, it's early, but these guys that they trusted to be key contributors, are those truly going to be the guys? And Joe Kelly so far on the season, a 7.27 ERA, a 1.62 WHIP. He has not gotten the job done early on. Metabolic says Evan Phillips standing alone in the circle of trust right now. Yeah, that trust tree has one branch on it, and it's Evan Phillips. I totally agree with that. It's a fire take right there. JT hit a home run today. Yeah, JT's the man. I mean, what can you say? JT, he's going to turn 40 in November. This guy, hitters hit, and he's a hitter. Don't care what jersey, what uniform, what hat you put on him. Hey, Ginger Jesus is going to go out there. Ginger Jesus is going to go out there and perform. The trade is for Matt Miller from the A's. Mr. Copacetic, interesting take. I like that. Freddie Freeman crying over the Braves still from Nando. Jason, instead of chucking javelins, he should be tossing some jumbo jacks and build up some velocity. That's from Jason B. It's a fire tag. Making excuses for the players. Freddie is the slumper from Carl Roberts. Hernandez gets lost. Let's do some more. Nando. Okay. We got Max Muncy and Brazier at hometown. Okay, we got if y'all think we're going to be this bad for too much longer, you need to use your head and not your heart. Yes, it will suck, but talent will prevail. Moses, thank you, Mosey, for getting us back where we needed to be. This team is still full of talent. They know what they need to do. Will Ohtani hit 40 home runs V-track? I think he definitely will. I think he'll go on a home run streak pretty soon. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that. JKid323, I still take CT3 with runners in scoring position over strikeout munchies. Sierra Brew, doom and gloom Dodgers need to be gone. Dodgers started 10-game winning streak starts tomorrow. There's my Michelada half full take of the show from Sierra over on YouTube. A $2 super chat. My guy Wardy NYM in here trying to take his victory lap here. And I have to edit out that part of our episode where I said they were going to sweep. Maybe I'll leave the part where I said they're going to take 2 out of 3. But still, good game, my man. See you tomorrow. Hey, congrats on your Metropolitans, man. Hottest team in baseball. I was really impressed by them tonight. Lux should have pinch hit for Taylor. Craig Osterberg. What's up, Craig? Poor D-Mac gets another losing season to cover. Carl, hey, we're going to be fine. The Dodgers are going to be just fine. My condolences, D-Mac. They're going to be just fine. Jay Bullitt, real talk, Austin Barnes is a worse defensive catcher than Will Smith. Let's not pretend. A couple more here. This team strikes out so much, you rarely ever see us move a runner over or hit a sack fly. Hey, Miguel Rojas was showing bunt. So, hey, tonight, like I said, the bats weren't there when they needed to be enough. And look, Mookie, he had some opportunities tonight, too. I mean, you have to point that out. I mean, Mookie Betts, he's the straw that stirs the Dodgers' drink. And when he scores a run, when he generates offense, this team typically wins. He ends up going 0-for-4. And Mookie had some opportunities tonight and wasn't able to come through himself. Mookie really expects more from himself, and Mookie ends up going 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position. So he had the most opportunities tonight. So you need to see more from Mookie Betts. But final thought on this one. Yes, your Dodgers are down bad right now. Yes, the bullpen is struggling. Yes, the offense needs to produce more with runners in scoring position. But let's not forget that this is a team that has a lot of new key pieces. and they still need to fill out the roles of the bullpen. And I think that the rotation as where it is too, I think what you're doing right now is you are fully using this as an assessment period, an evaluation period. And I would rather lose now and show this front office that the job isn't finished as far as player acquisitions than being stuck at the trade deadline with a front office that thinks they can just kick their feet up and just, you know, wipe their hands clean and not to do anything. I want to really put the wheels in motion now to say, okay, if these guys can't get it done, let's get the guys that they think can. And look, there's a lot of guys that are going to turn their seasons around. I'm fully entrusting them to do that, but I think it's key to truly see who those guys are right now, and I think that it's a necessary evil. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Dodgers Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel, the number one Dodgers postgame show on YouTube. Do us a huge favor. Mario says Dodgers first place facts. Absolutely. We got Need the Fire in the Dugout. Great point. What up, BC? What up, Eddie? So, yeah, thanks for rocking with us. As always, enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. Until next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.